Welcome to the North Point Community Church podcast. We're so glad that you've chosen to be part of creating a Christ-centered, culture-changing community. For more information on North Point or any of our other ministries, you can visit our website at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com. We hope that you enjoyed this inspiring word from our pastor.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You know that we are in our series right now on live on, lean in, and lead out. In the first 2 weeks of the series, we were talking about live on, living a life that lives on to the next generation. You can't allow your dream to die, your calling to die, your purpose to die. Why? Because you were created, that purpose was given, that calling was given, that it might live on into the next generation. But there are some requirements for your dream to live on. It cannot live on into the next generation if you're not living on the right foundation today. What you are living on today determines if your life will live on tomorrow. And last week we looked at the four corners of the foundation, and we set the first corner as Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of our faith, that he is the one that sets the parameters, that sets the structure of our life. We looked at the second corner, talking about our personal convictions, and that our convictions are simply what we have been convinced of. When you have been convinced of it, it becomes a conviction. The third corner being our customs, that we then begin to build habits in our life that reinforce our convictions. And the last corner that we looked at was commitment. And I just want to say that this morning, you are the picture of commitment, because I know some things about you. I know that you are an LSU Tigers fan, but you're committed to the house of God, so you showed up here anyway, okay? You didn't have much to be thankful for last night, but you came to church today because you've got the fourth corner of commitment. You're committed to the house of God. So we're talking about living on, and then today we're going to look at lean in. Lean in. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 24. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Paul says, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win." Everybody say, run to win. "All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." This morning, we're going to be talking about this subject, this concept, lean in. Lean in. Let's pray. God, I ask in the next few minutes that you would open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our mind to understand, and our heart to receive the fullness of everything that you want to communicate to us today. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen. I believe that this concept is one of the most important concepts that we have ever talked about here. This is going to be a phrase that not only you hear this Sunday and you hear next Sunday, this is going to be a phrase that you begin to hear on a regular basis. This is going to become a habit of the house, because what we have said here at North Point Community Church is that we exist to create a Christ-centered, culture-changing community. That is our mission. Creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community. And we put that word creating at the very beginning because Christ-centered is not something that just happens. Just because you come to church doesn't mean your life is Christ-centered. Just because you believe that there's a God doesn't mean that your life is Christ-centered. And just because you are a part of this community doesn't mean that your life is going to be lived in a way that is changing culture. You have to create that. You have to be intentional about creating a heart that is Christ-centered. You have to be intentional about creating a family that is Christ-centered. You have to be intentional about creating a life that doesn't just absorb the culture that's around you, but it actually pushes something different into the culture that is around you. It's something that must be created, and that's why we exist. And this concept of lean in, it's so important because it is countercultural, because we live in a society that leans back. We are not part of a society that leans in anymore. We are part of a society that leans back. And I've got this chair up here just because I want to just give you a visual aid. Whenever we talk about leaning back, we talk about the posture of leaning back. Whenever I lean back in this posture right here, this gives me the element of skepticism. It gives me the ability to be critical. Whenever I lean back, it allows me to appear a little bit disinterested. I don't have to take any responsibility. I can tell you what needs to be done in the White House, but the reality is there's chaos in my house. I can tell you the answer for everybody else's problems, but the truth is that I've got problems of my own that I'm not addressing. And so I can keep leaning back because leaning back is easy. Leaning back is comfortable. Assuming this posture makes me feel powerful, even though there's really no power to it, because we say things like this: well, I tell you what they need to do. But the truth is that we have no power over they. But if we would stop leaning back and start actually leaning forward and leaning in, then you start saying things like this: well, I tell you what I am going to do. So we can actually stop pretending to be powerful and start actually being powerful, because you do have power over you. You don't have power over they, but you do have power over you. So you can start the practice of leaning in, of getting interested, of taking responsibility and saying, there is an issue, there is a problem, and I am going to lean in and do my part. I'm not going to lean back and be judgmental. I'm not going to lean back and be skeptical. I'm not going to lean back and not take responsibility. Instead, I choose to lean in to the problems, to lean in to the issues. And so today, we are talking about this posture of leaning in. And it's so important because Paul says in verse 26, he said, I run with purpose in every step. I run with purpose in every step. You can't be leaning back and running forward. It's impossible to be putting all of your weight on the back and to run fast forward. You can't, as Paul says, I'm not shadow boxing. He's saying, I'm fighting a good fight. You can't fight a good, effective fight with your weight leaning back. The only way you can fight effectively is whenever you are leaning in. Then he goes on and he says this: I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. I discipline my body. I am creating something within me. I am telling it and training it to do what it should. Why? Because if I don't force myself to lean in, I'm always going to lean back. If I don't force myself to lean in, I will always catch myself in the posture of leaning back. Why? Because leaning back is comfortable. Leaning back is safe and secure, but leaning in is going to demand something from me. Leaning in is going to demand energy and effort. Leaning in is going to demand that I take responsibility. But as we've said, leaning in is a posture. It is a posture. And not only is leaning in a posture, but leaning in is a posture that puts me in position. It actually puts me in position to win. Paul started this whole passage off by saying this: run to win. Run to win. And if you want to win, there's a few things that you need to do. You've got to run with purpose in every step. You've got to fight a good fight. So that means I've got to lean in if I want to win. There is no win if you are not willing to lean in. And so this morning, you need to know that if I posture myself correctly, I can position myself effectively. If I posture myself correctly, then I can position myself effectively. Lean in to win. Come on, let's all say it. Say, lean in to win. Now say it like you really want to win. Say, lean in to win.
Lean in to win.
All right, we're headed down the right track this morning. Two things that you need to lean into. Let me just give you these, and I want you to write these down this morning. Two things that you need to lean into. The first is the presence of God. Lean in to the presence of God. I'm sure that you've lived long enough now to know that your posture matters. Your posture on your job matters. It matters to your employer. It matters to your customer. It matters to your clients. Your posture on the job. Your posture when you're talking to your spouse matters. Now, the husbands, you missed a great opportunity to say amen right there, because I know you are in agreement with me. Your posture when your spouse is talking to you, your posture matters. And do you know that your posture in the presence of God matters? Your posture in the presence matters. You can't allow your inward struggle to put a strangle on your outward assertion. You can't allow the inward struggles of your life to put a chokehold and to strangle the outward demonstration of praise, the outward demonstration of worship. You can't let the struggle on the inside affect the things happening on the outside. You say, what are you talking about when we talk about an inward struggle? Oh, I'm talking about the fact that you made a lot of bad choices this week that you're disappointed with. I'm talking about the inward struggle of the fact that you've got a teenager that's acting crazy, doing things that you don't approve of, and you say, that's not how they were raised here in my house. I'm talking about the inward struggle of getting passed up for a promotion at your work that you were promised. I'm talking about the inward struggle of the fact that you've been fighting with your spouse all week. I'm talking about the inward struggle of the financial pressures that keep on building and building and building in your home. It's the inward struggle that is trying to strangle out the outward assertion. Because of my struggle, I'm not going to assert myself in worship. Because of my struggle, I'm not going to sing and worship. Because of my struggle, I'm not going to meditate upon the Lord. Because of my struggle, I'm not going to have my devotion this week. Because of my struggle, I'm going to withhold from the presence of God. I'm not going to lean into God this week because I don't feel like it. I'm not going to lean into God during this season of life because I've got things all around me that are falling apart and I don't really feel like leaning in right now. Can I just share with you this morning that it's a whole lot more beneficial to act your way into a feeling than it is to allow yourself to feel your way into an action? It's a whole lot more beneficial for you to act your way into a feeling than it is to feel your way into an action. I had a very interesting conversation this week as I was talking to this guy, and we were talking about church, and we were talking about worship and several different things, and he says, I just wish I could feel what those people feel. I was like, what are you talking about? This guy's been, he's been coming to church here for over a year or so, and he said, I just wish I could feel what they feel. I said, well, tell me a little bit more about that. And he said, well, I just wish I could feel, you know, they're just really engaging with God, and I wish I could feel that. I said, well, why don't you explain to me what you think is happening? He said, well, they must be feeling something so amazing to lift their hands. They must be feeling something so amazing to begin to sing out loud. They must be feeling something so amazing, and I've just never felt that. Let me just give you a news flash. Most of the people in this building who are lifting their hands didn't feel anything. It's just the thing that they have decided to do is that whenever I come to the house of God, I'm going to worship, not because of how I feel, but because of who He is. They're not singing songs because they had a great week. They're not engaging with God because they're problem-free and they have everything in their life figured out. No. They just decided that it's a whole lot better for me to act my way into a feeling than it is for me to feel my way into an action. I don't wait for the presence of God to show up in my life. Instead, I come in to engage God so that the presence of God might invade my life. You see, it's called leaning into the presence. Leaning into the presence of God. Leaning in to worship and to praise. And this is something that David did, King David, in Psalm 103, verse 1. He says this, praise the Lord, my soul. All my innermost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. David is giving himself a personal call to praise. He is giving himself a personal challenge to worship. David, in this moment, is posturing himself to lean into the presence of God regardless of his feelings. No matter what happened that morning, his wife might have burnt his bagel and his baby might have spit up on his brand new cloak, but David is saying, soul, we're not going to let what's happening on the inside influence us from asserting ourselves and worshiping God on the outside. Soul, today you will worship the Lord. And David says it twice. Once wasn't enough. He says in verse 1, praise the Lord, my soul. He comes back in verse 2, praise the Lord, my soul, as if his soul wasn't listening. And if you've lived long enough to know, your soul can be stubborn. Your feelings can be forceful. They can be the bully that's trying to back you down into the corner, that's trying to choke out your praise, that's trying to choke out your worship, that's trying to steal your joy. But David said, I'm not going to let that happen. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Look at what he continues on in verse 2. He says, and forget not all of his benefits. Don't we know that there are benefits that come from the Lord? Don't we know that there are so many benefits that come from being in relationship with Almighty God? There are so many wonderful benefits, but that wasn't enough. David wasn't just going to leave it right there. He was going to remind his soul about all of these benefits. He says, who forgives all of our sins? Let's not forget the one who heals all of our diseases. Don't forget that he is the one who redeems your life from the pit. Soul, you better remember that he's the one that crowns you with love and compassion. He is the one who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth might be renewed like the eagles. He goes on and on and on all the way to the end of the chapter. And I just want you to know that I have preached this before. I have lived this before, because whenever I read it, I see that David's soul was stubborn. It makes me feel better about my own soul. If David had to tell himself twice and he was a man after God's own heart, that encourages me a little bit, because I have to tell myself two or three times. And then David goes all the way through. I've never seen this before in this chapter. He goes all the way to verse 22, and he just lists all the good things about God, how he's faithful, his love and compassion. And then he gets all the way down to verse 22, and he closes out the chapter with this: praise the Lord, my soul. I am not taking no for an answer. I don't care how much I have to remind you of. I don't care how much I have to declare. I want you to know that, soul, you are going to praise the Lord today. You are going to lift your voice. You are going to lift up your eyes. You are going to lift up your hands. You will worship the Lord. David was telling his feelings. He was telling his inward struggle. You are not going to convince me to lean back today. You are not going to convince me to hold back what he is ultimately worthy of. Soul, today I will lean into the presence of God. Soul, today I will lean in to praise and to worship. You know, most of the meaningful encounters that I have had with God, they came at unexpected moments, but never unengaged moments. They came at unexpected moments, but they hardly ever came at uninterested moments. I walked into a chapel service one day in the eighth grade, and it was like chapel that we had every single day, and it was the same routine, and it was the same guy singing, and everything about this was ordinary, but I did not know that today was going to be an extraordinary day in my life. And so I walk in there, and I did something that I had never done before in my life. I had never lifted my hands in worship. I had never done that. I'd seen my parents do it before. I'd been around other people that lifted their hands. It's something that I had never ever done. And on that day, as that guy started playing the keyboard and singing the same song that he sang almost every single day, I decided on that day that I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to worship God. And when I lifted my hands, I don't know what happened. It was the most divine experience that I had ever had in my life up until that point. It was like the heavens opened. It was really a salvation moment in my life when I just felt the love of God. I felt the compassion of God. I felt the presence of God. And it was an unexpected moment, but it wasn't an uninterested moment. I remember one Sunday night, we were in service. I was the youth pastor at SEC at this time, and a guy preached out of Psalm chapter 2, verse 8 that says, "Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance." And he preached a wonderful message. It was, the only thing was, up until that point, I had never really been interested in the nations. I had never really wanted to go anywhere or travel outside the United States of America. I was comfortable with what I was doing here, and I felt like that's all I would ever do. And so he preaches the message, and he says, "Hey, if you feel called to the nations, I want you to come to the altar. I want you to come down front. We're going to have a time of prayer." And I was standing right there in my seat. And then he said this. He said, I think there's some other people out there, and you might... just maybe there's a possibility. Maybe you don't feel called to the nations. You don't feel like you're going to be a missionary. But just maybe there's an open door there, and you want to come ask God and just seek the Lord. And I was like, well, yeah, that's me. I mean, I don't really feel called to go to the nations. I mean, there are people there who are crying, and yeah, they did the nations and the missions, and that's what those really lights their fire. It wasn't that way for me. But he invited people to come forward, and I came forward, and as I stood there and I began to lift my hands, something began to happen to me. And the next thing I know is I was on my knees. The next thing I know, an hour and a half had passed by. They were turning out the lights in the sanctuary, and I was still crying and praying and calling out to God for the nations of the world. Something happened in my heart that day. It was an unexpected moment. I didn't expect it to happen, but I wasn't unengaged. I wasn't uninterested. I was saying, "God, here I am, and if you want to speak, I'm listening. God, here I am, and if you want to send me, I'll go. God, here I am. I'm not expecting anything, but I want you to know that if you want to do something, I'm leaning into your presence right now." You see, God will show up in unexpected moments, but he won't show up in uninterested moments. That's why it's so important that you are leaning in to the presence of God. This is what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says. It says, "Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name." A sacrifice of praise. Do you realize it's a sacrifice when you don't feel it? Do you understand that it is a sacrifice when you don't have the time or energy for it? Do you know this morning that it is a sacrifice when you don't really want to do it because you don't know what the person standing next to you is going to think about you? That's when it's a sacrifice of praise. When you are uncertain and unsure, that's when it becomes a sacrifice of praise. And the writer of Hebrews says you should be continually offering a sacrifice of praise. When you don't feel like it, offer up praise. When you're unsure about it, offer up praise. Whenever you don't know what's going to happen, go ahead and offer up some praise. Why? Because it is a sacrifice of praise. That's what David said. "Soul, you will praise." David was just talking to himself. "Soul, you are going to worship today. Today, you will lean into his presence." Why is it so important for you to know that you have to lean into his presence? Because in his presence is the peace that you need. In his presence is the power that you need. In his presence is the joy and the grace and the mercy and the unconditional love that you need. In his presence is the breakthrough that I need to begin to see more clearly. In his presence is the touch that I need to make it through this next week. In his presence is the word that I need to come out of addiction. In his presence is everything that I need. So I might not feel like it, but I've got to have it. I've got to lean into his presence. Lean into his presence. I want to challenge you this week. Lean into his presence here in the sanctuary. Lean into his presence early in the morning. I want to challenge you, lean into his presence as you're driving to work, as you're on your lunch break, as your kids are taking a nap, as you're doing your family devotions at night, why don't you just begin to lean into the presence of God? Lean into His presence with a praise that says, God, You are so good and You've been so faithful. Just go ahead and lean in with the praise. Lean in with some thanksgiving to say, God, I thank You for everything that You've done. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful that Your mercy was brand new this morning. Go ahead and lean in with thanksgiving. Go ahead and lean into God with a prayer that says, God, I'm offering this up to You because You're my only hope. You are the source of my salvation. You are the source of my joy. I'm offering this up to You because I don't have anywhere else to go. Go ahead and lean into the presence of God with a prayer this week. But whatever you do, don't lean back. Don't let your inward struggle keep you from an outward expression of leaning in to the Lord. Let me give you the second thing that you need to lean into is preaching. We lean into the presence. The second thing is leaning into preaching. When you lean into the presence, what's happening is that you're getting in the posture of giving. When you lean into God, when you lean into the presence, you are giving God worship. You are giving God praise. But when you lean into the preaching of the word, you are in the posture of receiving. You're in the posture of receiving courage, of receiving truth, of receiving wisdom. And that's what the writer of Proverbs 19 says when he says this in verse 20. He says, listen to advice and accept instruction. Hear, listen to the advice and accept the instruction. Why? That you might gain wisdom in the future. That you might get wisdom in the future. Listening is not passive. Listening is active. So many times we come to church and we sit and we feel like we are part of a passive opportunity. No, listening is an active opportunity. When you are listening, what's actually happening is that you are feeding yourself. And the amount of nutrition that you receive in your spirit, in your soul, in your mind, the amount of nutrition that you walk out of here with will only be related to what you heard. And so if you don't lean into the preaching, if you don't lean into the truth, if you don't lean into the word of God, then you're not going to have the things that you really need to live on this week. Because you're only going to live as good as you eat. So you got to make sure that you're leaning into the preaching, that I'm taking in all of the truth and all of the instruction, that I'm taking it in so that I can live on the foundation of it this week. You know, there is an actual physical posture of leaning in. And you can lean in with your eyes. You can lean in with your head. You can lean in with your ears. But you can also just lean in with your body. And whenever you lean in with your body, what happens is that you are creating an atmosphere of anticipation for what is about to take place. It says, I'm joining my heart with the pastor's heart. And whenever I join my heart with your heart, I believe that something supernatural is about to take place. Whenever I join my heart with your heart, I believe that I'm going to walk out of here with a level of revelation that I didn't have. I believe I'm going to walk out of here with wisdom that I didn't have. I believe I'm going to walk out of here with courage that I didn't have. I believe I'm going to walk out of here with a capacity and an ability to love other people that I didn't have before. Why? Because you decided that you were going to lean into the preaching. Because you knew that there was something that you were going to have to take away. You see, when you lean in, when you're already postured that way, when your heart is postured that way when you walk in, then I'm not leaning back during the preaching today. I'm not shutting that off. I'm going to actually lean into the preaching of the word. And whenever you begin to lean in, it's so much easier to get into agreement. It's so much easier to get into agreement with what's being said whenever you are leaning in. And most of the time, the level of understanding that I leave with will always match the level of anticipation that I walked in with. We'll say that again for you this morning. The level of understanding that I leave with will almost always match the level of anticipation that I walked in with. It is hard to receive the greatness of God's declaration when I have low expectation. Because when we think about the greatness of God's declaration, the greatness of God's word and His declaration to you, that no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. If you walk in here with a low expectation, it's hard for you to grab a hold of that great revelation. If you walk in here with low expectation, it's hard for you to rise to the level to receive the great declaration that nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When we start talking about the great declarations of the word, if you don't have a great expectation when you walk in, it's hard for you to really get your hands around that. But see, when you lean into preaching, when you lean into preaching, what you're really doing is you're really leaning into the truth of the word. And when you're leaning into the truth of the word, what you're really leaning into is you're really leaning into Jesus. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when you lean into preaching, you're leaning into truth. And when you're leaning into truth, you're really leaning into Jesus. And that worked out pretty well for a lot of people in the Bible. There's a lady in Luke chapter 8. She had been bleeding for 12 years. She'd been to every doctor. They couldn't find a solution for her. They couldn't find a cure. One day, Jesus is walking down the street, and there was a big crowd out there to see Jesus, but she didn't let that stop her. The Bible says she pressed her way through the crowd, and she got all the way behind Jesus, and she reached out, and she just touched the very back of his garment, and the Bible says that instantly healing flowed out of Jesus into her body. You see, what happened in that moment? She just leaned into the truth. She leaned into who Jesus said he was. She leaned into the power that was in Christ Jesus. There's another story in John chapter 4. It's a royal official who came to Jesus and he said, please come heal my son. Please come and heal my son. Jesus said, go, your son will live. And the Bible says this about this royal official. It says, the man took Jesus at his word. You see, he walked up with the expectation that if you come with me, my son is going to be healed. He walked up with an anticipation in his heart that says, you are my answer. You are my healing. You are my way of escape. And I'm coming to you because I don't have anybody else to go to. And I'm coming to you because you are the one that I am after. And when he found Jesus and Jesus said, you just go on your way. Your son is going to live. The man believed Jesus at his word. He said, I'm going to take that word because I came with a great expectation so I can take that great declaration that my son is going to live. And he went home and he found his son just fine. Oh, there's another story in Luke chapter 5. There are four men that are bringing their crippled friend to Jesus. They're actually carrying him on a mat. And these four people are carrying their crippled friend because he can't walk for himself. And they have a problem. They get to the house and the house is packed. They can't get in the front door. They would not be denied. So they actually climb up on the roof and they begin to push the straw out of the way. And they drop their friend down there through the crack in the ceiling right there in front of Jesus. And Jesus heals their friend. You say, how did that miracle happen? Because four people said, we are going to lean into the truth. We are going to lean into the healing power of God. We are going to lean into everything that Jesus said he was. And because they leaned in, they saw a miracle. All of these supernatural stories were made possible because someone leaned in immensely that they might receive immeasurably. Somebody leaned in greatly that they might receive abundantly. Somebody was willing to go all in so that God could go all out for them. Could it be this morning that you might be missing something important in your life because of your posture? Could it be this morning that there might be a breakthrough that God is trying to get to you, but because of your posture, it's not getting all the way to you? Could it be this morning that because you're leaning back, there's an answer that God wants to give you, but because of your posture, it's not permitting you to receive the fullness. It's not permitting you to be healed. It's not permitting you to get that breakthrough. It's not permitting you to get what you really need. Is it possible today that your posture is influencing your life in a negative way? Is it possible today that you have taken on the culture of society? Is it possible today that your heart is matching the custom of your next door neighbor and you have found yourself in the posture of leaning back? Let's just wait and see what happens. happens. Let's see if anybody else sings. Let's see if anybody else really worships. Let's see if anybody else leans in. And you're waiting on somebody else to do it. Is it possible this morning that your posture is hindering your life? Is it possible? What would happen? What would happen this morning if you changed your posture? What would happen? What would be different in your life if you started leaning into the presence of God every day? I'm not talking about being a good person. I'm not talking about following the rules. I'm talking about what would happen if you intentionally leaned into the presence and you leaned into praise and you leaned into worship and you leaned into the divine power and you leaned into the amazing grace. What would happen if you just leaned into the presence every single day? What would happen if you postured yourself to lean in to the preaching of the word, if you leaned into the word of God, if you leaned into truth? What would happen? What would be different? What would change? What would change if you changed your level of expectation? What would change if you changed your level of anticipation? What would change in your life if you said, I'm leaning into God because I know he has something for me. I'm leaning into truth because I know that he can set me free. I'm leaning into him because I believe that miracles still happen. You see, I started off by telling you, I believe this is one of the most fundamental, foundational days that we have ever had here at North Point Community Church, because I believe this is a culture-changing day. I believe that if you take this concept, that it will begin to revolutionize your life. I believe if you take this concept, it will begin to revolutionize your marriage. It'll begin to revolutionize your workplace. If you stop the attitude of leaning back and crossing your arms and being skeptical and seeing what happens and talking about what people should do but not taking responsibility for what you need to do. And if you ever change that posture about yourself and you say, no, I'm going to get to the place where I'm going to lean into the presence of God and I'm going to lean into truth. I'm going to change my posture and I'm going to begin to lean into God. I believe that things would begin to change. And since I believe that this is such an instrumental word, we're going to have a reminder every single week. And this is what we're going to do. The first three sections over here are going to be reserved seating. They're going to be reserved seating. We're going to have reserved little cards out there. It's going to be reserved. And it's going to be reserved for people who are leaning in. It's going to be reserved. Now, we're going to come up with a name for it. I got a few suggestions. You know, Expectation Nation. Okay, Expectation Nation. Maybe the Amen Den. Okay, the Amen Den over there. Okay, and now here's the great thing about it. It's open to everybody. Now, I sure hope you might have to get here 5 minutes earlier than you normally do, because I'm hoping that people are fighting for those 25 seats. But it's open for you. I don't have to know you. You don't have to serve in this church. You can be a part of, I don't know, maybe we'll call it the Lean In Pen. Okay, I don't know. The preacher's bleachers, okay? I don't know. But you say, why are we doing that? Because I believe it's so important that we have something that reminds us, wait a minute, I can't live like the world. Wait a minute, I'm not on my job anymore. Wait a minute, I'm not supposed to think like my boss thinks. Wait a minute, I'm not supposed to live like my next door. Wait a minute, no, here I am in the house of God, and there's a reminder coming forth in the house of God that says you've got to lean into the presence, you've got to lean into the preaching, and whenever you lean in, it's a whole lot easier to get into agreement. And whenever you begin to get into agreement with truth, truth begins to transform your life. So we're going to have the preacher's bleachers over here. We're going to have the Amen Den, and they're going to be there for one purpose, to remind you that what we do at North Point Community Church is we lean into the presence and we lean into the preaching of God's word, because when you do that, it'll change your life. Oh, I can't wait for next Sunday. Because let's just be honest. You walk in and you sit over here in this section and you've had a long week. And you walk in and you're thinking about the trouble in your family and the trouble in your home, and your husband is not with you and you're alone, and all of these different things are going on in your life right now. And you come in and you come in troubled and you come in heavy and you come in burned and you come under a cloud of darkness. And you walk in, but here you have three rows of people over here who right at the very first song, they're not waiting till the feeling gets in the room. They're not waiting until we get to that third song and now I like this song, I'm going to sing along. No. What they're deciding is that from the first time we hit that note, from the first time that the instrument plays to the last lyric that's sung, I'm going to be going all in with God. I'm going to engage in His presence. And so when you walk in heavy and burdened and your mind going in a million different directions, all you have to do is look over here and remind yourself, wait a minute, I didn't come in here to be a spectator. I didn't come in here to watch people sing. I came in here to lean in myself, because everything that I need is in the presence of God. Everything that I need will be found in Him. So I might have had a hard week, but I'm going to lean in right now into the presence of God. Oh, you might be sitting here in this section right here, and about 15 minutes into the sermon, your mind begins to drift and you start thinking about the project that you have due at the end of this week, and you start thinking about the presentation that you have to give to your clients tomorrow morning, and you start thinking about all the things that you have going on. At about 15 minutes, you start hitting that zone out phase and you're thinking about all of your week's schedule. But as you're sitting there thinking about your schedule, you've got a group over here and they're in the preacher's bleachers. They're the amen. And so they're saying, amen, that's right, Pastor, amen, come on, that's good, that's truth right there, come on, keep going, give me some more of that. And as they start talking, you snap back into it and go, wait a minute, I'm not here to think about my schedule, I'm not here to think about tomorrow, I got to lean into the preaching of truth, because what I'm hearing right now is what will transform my heart, what I'm hearing right now will transform my mind, what I'm hearing right now will begin to transform my family. I've got to lean in right now. I can't afford to lean back. I've got to lean in. When I want our worship team to come at this time, you see, it's so important. That you lean into the presence. It's so important that you lean in to the preaching of the word. And whenever you begin to posture yourself in the presence and you begin to posture yourself in the preaching of the word, what you're really doing is you're positioning yourself to win. You're positioning yourself to win. You say, well, how am I doing that? Well, Jesus made it really clear. He said there's two commandments: that you would love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And the second is equally important: that you would love your neighbor as yourself. When you lean into His presence and you lean into His truth, it puts you in position to love Him and to love His people. When you make the decision that I'm not going to lean back, I'm going to lean in, it puts you in position to win in your relationship with God and to win in your relationship with others. You say, but Pastor Philip, leaning in it's not easy. It's not comfortable. It's definitely not cultural. You're right, but it's God. It's not culture, but it's God. It's not easy, but it's God. It's not normal, but it's God. You say, how do you know it's God? Because I serve a God that leaned in. I serve a God that was looking at the human race and was looking down at the world, and He said, something has got to be done about this. Something has got to change. There's got to be a sacrifice. There's got to be a perfect lamb. There has got to be a way for me to get into their hearts, not for them just to experience my presence in the temple, but I have got to find an avenue to get inside of them. And there's only one way that that can happen. And God leaned in. And when God leaned in, he leaned into himself. And he said, Jesus, son, you're the only one that can do what I'm talking about. You're the only one that can make the difference. And it was then that Jesus stepped out of heaven and onto this earth. And for 33 years, he walked around and he was leaning into the Father and he was leaning into his will and he was leaning into his purpose. And it took him all the way to the cross so that on the cross, he can lean into you and say, there will come a time where you're going to need forgiveness. You're going to need grace. You're going to need mercy.